Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to 9R Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Good Life, by Robert Waldinger, MD, translates decades of research from the Harvard study of adult development into practical lessons about happiness, health, and meaning. Waldinger, a psychiatrist and longtime director of the study, draws on one of the longest-running longitudinal investigations in the world, following individuals and their families across generations. Rather than promising quick fixes, the book argues that well-being is built through everyday choices that shape relationships, habits, and purpose over time. It connects emotional life to physical outcomes, showing how stress, loneliness, and supportive bonds can influence aging and resilience. The narrative blends scientific findings with real-life patterns observed in participants, highlighting how life trajectories can change even after setbacks or years of entrenched routines. Readers can expect a grounded look at what tends to matter most, why modern life can pull people away from it, and how to course correct with small, repeatable actions. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, relationships as the strongest predictor of a good life. A central theme is that the quality of close relationships predicts long-term well-being more reliably than wealth, status, or achievement. The book emphasizes that warm, dependable connections buffer stress, support healthier behaviors, and provide a sense of belonging that protects mental health. It distinguishes between having many contacts and having a few relationships that are emotionally safe and responsive. This includes romantic partners, friends, siblings, and community ties, with an emphasis on how people show up for each other during adversity. The research-based perspective reframes relationships as a health factor, not just a lifestyle preference. The idea is not that relationships must be perfect, but that they must be repairable, with the ability to recover from conflict and misunderstandings. The book also highlights how neglect, chronic hostility, or isolation can quietly erode happiness and even bodily health over years. Readers are encouraged to treat connection as an ongoing practice, checking in, listening well, making time, and investing in the people who consistently bring out their better selves. Secondly, loneliness, social disconnection, and hidden health costs. The book explores loneliness as more than a sad feeling, presenting it as a chronic condition with measurable consequences. It clarifies that loneliness can occur even when surrounded by people, especially when relationships lack trust, intimacy, or understanding. Social disconnection tends to amplify stress responses, disrupt sleep, and increase vulnerability to anxiety and depression, which can cascade into poorer physical health. The discussion helps readers notice subtle patterns that maintain isolation, such as withdrawing after disappointment, assuming rejection, or substituting shallow digital contact for restorative in-person connection. Importantly, the focus is not to shame introversion or solitude, but to separate chosen solitude from unwanted isolation. The book also underscores how modern pressures like overwork, mobility, and constant distraction can crowd out sustained bonds, making loneliness more common than many expect. Practical implications include recognizing early signals, reaching out before relationships atrophy, and building routines that create repeated contact. By treating connection as a basic need, the book frames loneliness as a solvable problem through intentional reconnection and community participation. Thirdly, how early experiences shape adulthood without sealing your fate. Drawing on decades of observation, the book explains how childhood environments, family dynamics, and early opportunities can set patterns that echo into adult relationships and coping styles. Attachment, emotional modeling, and early stress exposure can influence how people handle conflict, trust others, and regulate feelings. Yet the message is not deterministic. People can grow, heal, and reshape their trajectories through supportive relationships, therapy, reflection, and life experiences that challenge old narratives. The study's long view helps illustrate that development continues across the lifespan, and that turning points often come from new roles, mentors, friendships, or partners who provide a different relational experience. The book encourages readers to examine inherited habits, such as avoiding vulnerability or equating achievement with worth, then decide what to keep and what to change. It also highlights the importance of compassion toward oneself and others, since many harmful patterns began as adaptations to earlier circumstances. This topic invites readers to see personal history as informative rather than limiting, and to focus on the next constructive step rather than replaying the past. Fourthly, meaning, purpose, and daily choices that compound over time. Beyond happiness as a mood, the book focuses on a good life as a blend of purpose, engagement, and values, aligned living. It suggests that meaning often comes from commitments, caregiving, craft, community contribution, learning, spiritual practice, or causes larger than the self. Over time, small daily choices accumulate, shaping identity and satisfaction. The book highlights how people can drift into lives that look successful but feel empty when priorities are misaligned. It encourages a periodic audit of where time and attention go, and whether those investments match what the reader claims to value. Purpose is portrayed as flexible across life stages, not a single calling that must be discovered once. This framework makes room for reinvention after retirement, loss, or career change. The emphasis on compounding choices also applies to relationships, health routines, and personal growth. Rather than waiting for motivation, the book points toward consistent actions that reinforce connection and meaning, such as volunteering regularly, scheduling time with friends, or protecting time for deep work and reflective practices. Lastly, practical strategies for strengthening bonds and well-being. The book translates research insights into practical ways to cultivate connection and resilience. It stresses that relationships thrive on attention, reliability, and repair after conflict. Readers are encouraged to become more intentional, initiating contact, expressing appreciation, and asking better questions that invite depth. Listening is treated as a skill that signals care and builds trust. The book also addresses common barriers such as busyness, fear of awkwardness, and the belief that it is too late to reconnect. It suggests starting small, like brief check-ins, shared activities, or joining groups that create repeated interaction. Another key strategy is managing stress and emotions so they do not spill into relationships through irritability, withdrawal, or defensiveness. This includes recognizing triggers, practicing healthier coping, and seeking help when patterns feel stuck. The book also acknowledges that some relationships are harmful and that boundaries can be part of a good life. Overall, the strategies emphasize consistency over intensity, encouraging readers to treat connection and self-care as ongoing habits that become easier and more rewarding with practice. In conclusion, this book is best for readers who want evidence-based guidance on happiness that does not rely on hype, hacks, or purely personal anecdotes. It will especially help busy professionals, parents, caregivers, and anyone who feels successful on paper yet undernourished emotionally, as well as people navigating midlife transitions, loneliness, or major life changes. The core benefit is a clearer set of priorities: investing in relationships, protecting time for meaningful commitments, and noticing how daily choices shape long-term health. By linking emotional connection to physical well-being, the book gives readers a compelling reason to take small relational actions now rather than later. Compared with similar self-help titles, its strength is the long-time horizon and the disciplined perspective of longitudinal research, which reduces the temptation to chase short-lived boosts and instead focuses on what tends to endure. It also avoids one-size-fits-all prescriptions by acknowledging different life stages and the reality of setbacks. For readers seeking a grounded roadmap to a richer life, it offers both motivation and practical direction, making it worth buying as a lasting reference. If you would like to support Robert Waldinger, MD, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.